Open our Bibles this morning to the book of John. Book of John. John chapter 14. John chapter 1:4. John 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If you listen to the religious media, you would almost be persuaded that the whole world believes in God and loves God. If you watch some of the big-time preachers, you would believe that thousands upon thousands of people would be flooding the streets telling others about Jesus, because if you look, their churches are just full and running over of religious people. If you stop people on the street, even within many churches, and ask them, do you love God? They would tell you most assuredly, of course I love God. What's wrong with you? But if you look at the Bible, I have to wonder if these people really know what they're talking about. I fear that many people today are like the people in Ezekiel's day. In Ezekiel 33, verse 31, Ezekiel said, They come unto me as the people cometh. They sit before me as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. I believe that's where a lot of people are today. You ask them, do you love Jesus? Absolutely, I love Jesus. They say it with their mouth, but you watch their life, you watch their habits, you watch their attitude in life, and their attitude and their life contradicts what they say with their mouth. Now, I don't know anyone's heart. I don't profess to. I can only judge the fruit that I see on the vine. And even then, sometimes, it can be hard to really know if somebody is saved. But I'm going to ask you this morning to examine yourself. I'm going to ask you to pray. And I'm going to ask you to pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, enlighten your mind. And then I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I really love God this morning? Now, in thinking of this, and I know I used this title a few weeks ago, so I know that I used it, but this is going to be completely different. How is it that we demonstrate love for things that we truly do love? I'm not a fisherman. I love to eat fish, but the only way I want to catch it is when Captain D's hands it over the counter or when Frisch's brings it to my plate. That's the only way I like to catch fish. But I know people who love to fish. They love to fish. They'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get everything ready so they can get to the lake and get a good spot for fishing. They'll get wet. They'll get mosquito bit. They'll risk being bitten by a rattlesnake. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I get to fish. They'll drive for who knows how far. Even with gas being over $3 a gallon, it doesn't matter because I love to fish. I had a good friend of mine before he died. He was one of those that loved to fish. Every time he got the opportunity, he was out on the lake fishing. I mean, every time. 2 or 3 days a week, he would be out fishing. If you fish a lot, well, you have to spend money for the right pole. You have to get the right lure. You have to get the right sinker. You have to get the right this and the right that. But that's okay. I'll spend the money because I love to fish. Well, I'm not a golfer either. Got some friends that are golfers. I'm not against golf. If you enjoy it and you play it, more power to you. But in knowing people that golf, you know what a good set of clubs can cost? A good set of clubs, custom made, can run hundreds and maybe even thousands of dollars for a good set of clubs. Golf fees, I did look up this morning, I looked at some golf club or some golfing, whatever they're called, and the cheapest I found for 18 holes, the cheapest that I found for 18 holes was $26 to knock a ball, knock it out yonder so you can spend a half hour looking for it just so that you can knock it again. And it went from 26 all the way up to several hundred dollars for an 18 rounds of golf. But that's okay. I love to play golf. A good set of golf balls can add up. Unless you live at our house and we're right next to the golf course, I've got all the golf balls. I've got all the golf balls you can ever need, picking up out of the yard every time I mow. But balls cost money. That's okay. I love to golf. People will go out and play golf all day long in the heat. I had a friend of mine that used to play golf in the snow, and he painted his balls red so that he could spot them in the snow, because rain, snow, sleet, or shine, he loved to play golf. Some people love to hunt. I love to shoot. Shooting is a major sport in some areas. I was talking to a man a couple of weeks ago, and he's really into competition. He said it's not unusual for him to go out and shoot over 1,000 rounds a day. I know what shells cost. They're not cheap. 1,000 rounds a day, and he'll do that 4 or 5 days a week sometime because he loves to shoot. Well, if you love hunting or shooting, a gun can cost a lot of money. A good gun can cost, even a cheap gun can be $300, $400, $500. Shells now cost tremendously. But if you love hunting, you know what? I don't care. I'll spend the money. I love to hunt. What about loving God? Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me. So I thought of this last week. I thought of my love for my family. We have 3 wonderful kids, 4 magnificent grandkids. And I don't think I ever looked at one of my kids and said, do you know how much you cost me a year? You know what? If we had all the money that we spent on kids, we could retire as probably millionaires. But you know what? It was worth every dime of it because I love my kids immensely. I love my grandkids. All they've got to do is say, Grandpa, can we? And whatever it is, you know, let's do it. Why? Because I love my grandkids. If you love your wife, do you dread, oh, good night, I've got to go home to that old battle axe again. Oh, I wish. Do you love your wife? Do you think, oh, I would give anything if I didn't have to go home? Of course not. I'm scheduled to preach in November, and I know the preacher, and I love him. He's a great man. But I do not want to go because I don't want to be away from my wife for that time. I enjoy being with my wife. I don't like it when I'm gone somewhere and I have to leave her. We love our family and we enjoy being with them. We enjoy doing things with them. We enjoy buying them things because we love them. But you listen to a lot of religious people today, and if this hits you, I'm sorry. Maybe you need to change your plans a little bit. 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock for Sunday school? I can't get up that early to go to Sunday school. Never mind that they punch the time clock every morning at 7 o'clock at work, and that's fine. But 10 o'clock is just ridiculous for Sunday school. You know what it's like sitting on one of those pews for 30, 45 minutes? Do you know how hard it is to sit for that long? And yet they can sit on bleachers for hours and hours. It's not that the pews aren't comfortable. It's not that 10 o'clock is too early. It's that their love issue is missing. Then there's the excuse, all they ever want is money. Have you ever heard that one? Why people don't come to church? All they want is money. Go fishing. All they want is money. I've got a very, very good friend of mine that is a game warden down in West Kentucky. And part of his job is to make sure that if you're going to fish or hunt, they got your money. Show me your license. Oh, you don't have one. Well, we're going to get your money anyway. Oh, you want a deer hunt? Oh, that's another license. You want to hunt this? Oh, that's another license. Oh, the church, all they want is money. How much do you have in that fishing rod? I think I got mine for 50 cents at a yard sale. Hasn't been in the water in 40 years, but I've got one. Go hunting. How much money does it cost? You know, sports takes a lot of money. If you're a Bengals fan, I believe someone told me the cheapest seat they have, and I might be off on this, but the cheapest seat they have is like 50 bucks, and that's up in the nosebleed section somewhere. Try buying a hot dog at the Great American Ballpark. $4 for a hot dog that you can buy at Kroger's for a quarter, you know. Oh, we don't complain about the money because we love what we're doing. Well, then there are those who, I go to church once a month or maybe once a year. You know, if you really don't want to do something, you can get all kinds of excuses for not doing it. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said in Matthew 22, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." In other words, I want you to love me more than anything else. There's nothing wrong with fishing, but we should love God more than fishing. There's nothing wrong with shooting, but we should love God more than shooting. There's nothing wrong with sports, but they should never, never come between me and my service for God. In studying the writings of the Apostle Paul, Paul evidently attended a number of sporting events because he used many illustrations about the sporting arenas. But yet there was never a question ever that serving God came before going to sports. There's nothing wrong with loving my family. But Jesus said in Luke 14, if a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I love my wife. We've been married for over 41 years. I can't even imagine life without her. But I'm to love God more than I love her. I adore my children. But I'm never to allow my children to stop me or hinder me from serving God. I love my grandchildren immensely, but I cannot let my grandchildren hinder me or stop me from serving God. Isaiah 42, we looked at a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. Isaiah 42, God said, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Oh, you adore that new car. Well, there's nothing wrong with the new car, but you're going to have to choose between that new car and serving me because I will not share my glory with the new car. I will not share my glory with the new house. I will not share my glory with your children. I will not share my glory with your grandchildren. I will not share my glory with your parents. I will not give my glory to another. I don't care who or what that other may be. I'm the Lord. You love me with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, or you don't love me at all. I think I can speak for most of you wives and husbands both. You would not accept infidelity in your spouse . Some of you, I know some of you wives may wish this, but please refrain. How happy would you be if your husband only came once a month at home to see you? Your husband works and, you know, he's in town and everything, but he only manages to come by the house and visit you once a month or once every 2 or 3 months. Would you ladies question his love for you? You know what? I don't know what it is, but he says he loves me, but he only comes to see me and the kids about once every couple of months. I don't think you wives would accept that. I don't think you husbands would accept that. And yet we say, oh, how I love Jesus. And we love him so much that we only go visit him once every couple of months if there's nothing else going on. Jesus said, no, I want everything. I want your mind. I want your heart. I want your soul. I want to be the center of your love, and everything else then can fall in line, but I want to be the center of your love. I want to be the center of your affection. I want you to love me more than anything. I want you to serve me more than anything. And I will not share my glory with anyone else. Then in our text, if you love me, I have one request. Keep my commandments. Now, as I thought of this, you could build a long, long list. But I'm not going to build a list of do this, 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 and this. Rather, I want to lay down some principles, I hope. Now, I've already given you several things, but keep my commandments. I want you to love me more than you love fishing. I want you to love me more than you love hunting. I want you to love me more than you love the Bengals, which is not very hard to do. I want you to love me more than anything or anybody. I want you to love me more than anything. There's nothing wrong with many of these things. Unless those things come between us and our relationship with God. If you want to know where your devotions are, look at how much time you spend in different activities. I just had a thought. I'm arguing with myself. Do I want to go there or not? I think I'm going to pass on that one. I'll save that one for another day. I want you to... How much time do you devote to other things? Now, some of us, we devote roughly 2, maybe 2.25, 2.5 hours on Sunday morning. And we'll devote maybe an hour and 15 minutes, depends on singing on Sunday night. And then we'll devote maybe an hour on Wednesday night. So we've got 2.5, 3.5, 4, we've got 5 hours a week that we dedicate to God. How much time do you spend doing other things? I know you have to work. I'm not condemning that. But even at work, you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Even at work, you can still not let those things of the world get between you and your fellowship with God. How much time, how much energy, how much money do I spend on other things versus how much money I spend on God? I've said before, it's not new for most of you, but most people love our government more than they love God. How do I know that? Well, they tell me, I don't know this personally, but they tell me the average person spends about 30% of their total income in taxes, federal, state, and local. 30% of what you make, you give to the government. And then there are people who complain if they give God $1 a week. How much money do you spend? Good friend of mine emailed me last week. He has a super, super, super deal on a rifle. And And then my wife hit reality. She said, you remember, every dollar you spend on a rifle, I get just as much on me. Well, you know what? Do I love my rifle more than her? If I'm going to spend $100 on a rifle, do I love my rifle more than I love her? If I do, something's wrong. Something isn't right. How much time, how much energy, how much money do you spend on other things without serving God? Well, if I'm going to keep God's commandments, I'm going to have to study and find out what His commandments are. Now, I can guarantee you, without even flinching, I can guarantee you the Bible requires more than 3 or 4 times a year. I can guarantee that. In fact, I can even go a little farther than that and say that based on New Testament examples, based on the apostolic examples, based on the early churches, they met almost every day together to pray and to study the Bible. Most people think that once a week is too much. Well, it all boils down to who do you love? If you love to play golf, is once every quarter enough? If you really love golf, is once every 6 months enough? Jesus said, if you really, truly, honestly love me, then you'll keep my commandments. When I think of all that God has done for me, I can never serve Him too much. I think sometimes we forget what all God has done for us. We forget what a wretched, vile sinner we were. We forget that we were at enmity with God. We forget that we were on our way to hell, and that it was God that reached down in mercy and grace and lifted us out of that miry pit of clay and saved us, adopted us, cleaned us up, put on a robe of righteousness. And now I can stand here as a child of the King because God saved me. Sometimes we need to go back and remember just what God saved us from. Because God has done so much for me, I want to spend as much time as I can with Him and with His people. I've said this before, it's nothing new. I consider the folks at this church more my family than many of my own flesh and blood family. I'm much closer to many of you than I am to most of my cousins and second cousins and some of them I don't even know. I enjoy being with God's people because you represent God, and I want to be with God's people because we have a lot in common that we can share. When I think of all that God has done for me, nothing He asked me to do should even be thought about as too hard. You know, we sometimes get to thinking, and I know this because I hear it from other people, I could never be a Christian because you demand too much. Well, then you don't have a clue what being a Christian is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, if you think the burden of God is too heavy, if you think Christian service is too hard, then you're not really doing Christian service. I don't know what you're doing, but Jesus said, I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Put on my bondage. You've had the bondage of sin. You've had the bondage of the world. You were a slave to Satan. Now take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then in verse 30, he summed it up, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, being a Christian is just too hard. No, being a Christian is rest unto your soul. Being a Christian is, Jesus said, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Oh, when I see people under the slavery of this world, look at how much this world has caused physical ailments. And I don't want to, well, maybe I do. I know a lot of people. Over the years, I've had some very good friends. I've had relatives, family, that were addicted to the things of this world. And I mean addicted. I had an uncle who smoked 2-3 packs a day. Had a major heart attack. The doctor said, Robert, if you don't give up smoking, you're going to die. My uncle said, okay, I quit. He quit for about a week or so, and he made the statement, he said, I would rather die than have to fight the addiction that comes with smoking. I would say that he was not serving God's yoke. God's yoke doesn't addict you. God's yoke doesn't enslave you. God's yoke doesn't kill you physically. My uncle did die of a heart attack. The doctor said in all probability it was because the smoking so constricted his vessels that his heart just couldn't take it any longer. And he died fairly young. I look at people today and there is all kinds of emotional distress. You know, if you keep my commandments, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You want to have rest for your soul? Or do you want to live your whole life tied up in knots and always walking the floor and just worrying and worrying and your stomach is turning and turning and you're just, you're an emotional wreck. Jesus said, keep my commandments and my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I won't enslave you. You know, the devil says that Jesus is asking too much when he asks us to surrender our all to him. But listen, folks, it's only when we surrender to him that we find real peace. And yet I see so many, 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 many people today who are so enslaved by this world. And you talk to them. They don't have peace. They don't have rest. And if I understand what Jesus is saying, if you love me, don't say it, prove it. I've used the illustration. I go home and I tell my wife, I walk in, stick my arms out, take her in my arms, and I hug her, and I give her a kiss. Honey, I want you to know I just love you. I love you so much. And then I step back and bop her one and blacken her eyes. Do you think I meant it when I said I loved her? If you do, please come to my house. I'm kidding. Jesus said, if you love me, don't talk about it. Prove it. Keep my commandments. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. My yoke is easy. You see, you don't know what real freedom is until you let go of the things of this world and simply trust God and put your life and your trust in him. Look at how the world drives us to do more and more and more just to get ahead. It may seem that Jesus is asking too much, but when you totally surrender to him and his will, for the first time in your life, you can enjoy peace and rest. So what do you love? What do you think about most of the time? Some of you are thinking, if he doesn't hush, I'm going to miss my seat at the Cracker Barrel. Well, you know what that tells me? It tells me you like Cracker Barrel more than you like the things of God. Oh, I tee off at 1 o'clock, man. Come on, I've got my tees reserved. Reds play at 2 or whatever time the Reds show up, if they show up. I got to get out of church and preacher, I won't be back tonight because, you know, I'm praying the game goes into overtime and, you know, it's funny. People pray for a ball game to go into overtime and they come to church and pray they get out early. Does that indicate that maybe we really don't love God as much as we should? What do you enjoy most? I can say this most of the time, I enjoy coming to church more than any place I can think of. What do you enjoy? Ah, man, that refreshment of throwing the rod out, or not the rod, but the line. Well, maybe the rod too. Throwing the line out and reeling in that big fish. Oh, that's tremendous. You know what? I would rather be at church than catch the biggest fish that's ever been caught. What do you enjoy? What do you dream about when you've got some free time? That may be a pretty good indication of where your priorities are. If you're here today and you're lost, and I've had lost people tell me, oh, I love God more than anything. Well, if that's true, why don't you repent of your sins and trust Him? See, the Bible tells me if you're lost, the cardinal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You cannot love God if you're lost. You may love religion. You may love some things about God. But you cannot love God unless you repent of your sins and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And then after you're saved, Satan's job after you're saved is to keep you so occupied that you don't have time to think about God and the things of God. If you love me, all I'm asking you to do is keep my commandments. And you'll find out they're not as bad as you think they are. What will you do today? Father, we come. And Lord, as I examine my own heart, I confess how many, many times that I've allowed the things of this world to creep in and to crowd out my love for you.